So some of you know that I am a big Seinfeld fan. Huge, huge Seinfeld fan. And there's certain days where things go on in the soccer world where I feel like a young Jerry Seinfeld. Because all I could say late last night and early this morning as I was prepping for today's show is, what's the deal with these CONCACAF coaches? Why are they always punching people? Paulo Wanchope, Costa Rican manager, resigned today after last night getting in a brawl in Panama after the Costa Rica-Panama U23 Olympic qualifier. He was not coaching that game. They wouldn't let him in. The security would not let him in because he was not credentialed. Oh, my goodness. Let's break this thing down real quick. Nate Abarrea here with you on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Joe Prince-Wright of NBC Sports is going to be with us in this edition of the show, talking all about the Barclays Premier League and the new deal. We're not talking FDR. We're talking the new NBC Premier League deal. 6 years, baby. NBC has got the Prem cinched up. Paulo Wanchope takes the cake. We got to start with this. Have you seen the video yet? Check out the video. He freaks out. He's not credentialed. They're not letting him in. And there's this little dude who has not been, it hasn't been verified yet whether he was a security guard or just some random little dude. And the little dude shoves him and shoves him almost onto the field. He's at the edge of the stands right there near the metal bars. And he falls into this kid. Everyone freaking out on social media saying that Wanchope shoved the kid. He did not shove the kid. He got shoved into the kid. So he turns back, he freaks out, he throws a mean right cross at the little dude. And then Wanchope expected this thing to be over. But lo and behold, little dude comes back flying, throws a drop kick, another punch, gets him in the back of the head, and then there's this awkward grapple that ends with Wanchope slipping back into the stadium seats, and he gets punched in the face. Cops and security come in and break it up. Everyone talking about this egg in the face for Wanchope. He lost his cool, he lost his job, and he got his ass kicked by a member of the Lollipop Guild. I'm not buying that it was an ass kicking. Let's send it to HBO's Harold Letterman. Well, Nate, copy box numbers have the advantage to Wanchope with the power punches, but I'm going to give the round 10-9 to Frodo Baggins. That's right, Frodo Baggins wins the fight. It wasn't an ass kicking. This is how I'm going to end this. Herrera punches a broadcaster. Wanchope punches a random dude in Panama. Your move, Jurgen Klinsmann. Who will our manager punch? It's the CONCACAF managerial theme. We're back with Joe Prince-Wright of NBC Sports after this right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
Are you sick and tired of cable and satellite prices going up and up and up? If you're a sports fan like me, one of the main reasons you're keeping your TV subscription is to watch ESPN. But did you know that you can cut the cord, cancel your TV subscription, and watch ESPN live and legally on your computer, tablet, Roku, or phone and save a ton of money? With a subscription to Sling TV, you can watch all the ESPN, ESPN2, TNT, TBS, and AMC that you want. Plus, you also get the SEC Network, ESPN Bases Loaded, ESPN Buzzer Beater, Univision, and much more. From SportsCenter to Hoops, Sling TV has got the best in live sports action and commentary. And today, you can get a free 7-day trial to Sling TV just by going to slingmytv.com. Again, to get a 7-day free trial to Sling TV, go to slingmytv.com today. That's slingmytv.com.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the US. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Save your business time and money with Lowe's Pro Services. You'll find everything pros need for the whole job, like 15% off fiberglass extension ladders and 15% off Property Advantage paint manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Plus, save an extra 5% when you use your Lowe's business credit card. Go to Lowe's today or visit the new lowesforpros.com. Ladder and paint offers valid 8-1 through 8-7. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Exclusions apply and can't be combined with other credit offers.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, WorldSoccerTalk.com. Check us out on Twitter. Get at us at World Soccer Talk, at Sports Byline USA, and come at me with the love mail and the hate mail at NateWST. My name is Nate Aberia, your host of World Soccer Talk Radio. Pleasure to be joined right now by Mr. Joe Prince Wright of NBC Sports. We are talking all about the new deal. And as I said in the opening, we're not talking about FDR. We're talking about the Premier League on NBC for the next six seasons. And we'll talk quite a bit about the greatest show on earth. Joe, thanks for coming on. How you doing, sir?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
So you are hanging in London, right around the corner from Hyde Park, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, yeah, beautiful part of the world. I didn't grow up too far away from here, so it's nice to be over here for NBC's coverage. And it's a great base to get around the country and get trains, planes, and automobiles around to all the games, because that's what I spend most of my time doing, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, say hello to the good folks in Kensington for us, and let's get right into this thing with NBC. It was the elephant in the room, really. We talked with Kyle Martino back in, I think it was April or May, we had Kyle on the show, and it's sort of just this weird thing that was lingering around, almost this kind of feeling of restlessness, and where are we going to go from here? Is this a lame duck term here, this final season for NBC with the Premier League? Don't we deserve to have this thing as the incumbent, you know, when all these other networks and entities are coming in? Shouldn't we have the advantage because we've really propelled this thing to this next level? Well, all of that stuff combined for some very interesting conversation, and we finally have reached a conclusion. The new deal lands the Premier League on NBC for the next six seasons. Tell us about what you know about this thing and what it really means for you personally and for NBC Sports as a whole.
Well, I think to start with, NBC Sports as a whole, I think it's fantastic, the resources that have been made available to get this deal signed and sealed. I think for soccer fans in America, it's incredible to have the kind of coverage that we've been able to pump out the last couple of years, every single game, live online via Live Extra, and then live on TV as well with all the games on NBCSN and NBC. So I think for us, it's just keep that going, keep it rolling, keep improving every season like it has done so far. And yeah, like you said, it was, I think everyone was just really, really happy to renew the relationship with the Premier League. And being over here, I know the Premier League was really, really happy with the work that was done by NBC to take it to the next level the last couple of seasons. And everyone's happy all around. So, personally for me, it just means carry on as usual, keep going to as many training grounds and stadiums as I can get myself to, and report and head up NBC's written coverage for Pro Soccer Talk, our website. That's my main aim. And yeah, long may that continue, but safe to say everyone's very, very happy.
Now, I do have to ask this real quick. When you think back to the last few months, as this was a really hot topic around the soccer media world, and you had the likes of BN with all the Al Jazeera money, you had ESPN, you had Fox with all of their funds coming in, and many of their representatives feeling very confident that they were gonna nab this thing. What was kind of the word around the NBC campfire, or was everybody kind of not giving any word and just kind of saying, hey, we're going to focus on our tasks at hand right now, getting ready for this Premier League season? Or was there any kind of nervous rumbling of any sorts going on? Give us a taste of what that was like around NBC over the last few months.
I'd love to, really, but I'm based here in London. I'm one of the only NBC Sports employees in the UK. So everyone's in Stamford, Connecticut. I just kind of got on with my job over here in England and speak to Arlo and these guys about it. They're over here too, Lee Dixon, Graham Lasso. And we're a little bit annexed. We're just cut off. We have phone calls back and forth all the time. But to be honest, it was really, really something that didn't play on too many people's minds that much from what I could tell from conversations. It was obviously at the forefront of the people who were involved in the negotiations. They did a fantastic job all around. But, yeah, I can't really speak about the anxiety or any of those issues.
Well,
I wasn't there.
It's funny you bring up Arlo, because when Arlo was on the show back in May, he shared a similar feeling and almost looked at it as kind of a blessing, being the fact of, hey, it allows me to not worry about this kind of stuff. I've got the entire Atlantic Ocean in between me and all of that drama. I'm just going to do my job right now. But at the same time, it definitely seemed to be, at least in the back of a lot of people's minds, and even including Arlo White and even Lee Dixon and Graham Lasso and the rest of you guys over there in the UK. Now I got to ask you a financial question here, and this is just something to kind of give a historical perspective on this deal, and we've talked about this on Twitter quite a bit of late. Fox Sports World in 1998 had the Premier League television rights. They bought them for $1 million. That was what the season cost back in 1998. This deal in 2015 annually is worth $1.7 billion. I feel like I got to get my Dr. Evil Austin Powers voice on for this. What do those numbers mean to you as someone who's seen the Premier League from a number of different angles, from a number of different countries as well? What do you think that growth in those numbers means?
I mean, it just shows you the global product that the Premier League has become in North America, South America, the Far East, Africa, all over Europe. It's known and recognized as the number one soccer league in the world. And these TV deals from every country, that's what it represents. That's what it shows, that people everywhere want to watch it. I think it's great for the clubs. What we've seen is that it's opened up a whole new world to teams like Swansea, Southampton, Crystal Palace, teams in the past who perhaps didn't have the revenues to reach out to fans in far-flung corners of the world. Now they can do that because their games are broadcast all over the world. So I think what we're seeing is it's not just the traditional powerhouse clubs growing the brand of the Premier League in the world. It's now that people have so many options because they can watch all the games, they can follow any team they want. And, the power of the Premier League has been incredible. I remember going as a kid to watch Southampton where I grew up in the Premier League, and that was in the mid-90s, as you mentioned. And to see it then and then to see it now, it's night and day. It's incredible the way that Richard Scudamore and those guys there have improved the brand and sold it to the rest of the world. So, yeah, it's just growing beyond anybody's wildest dreams, I would say so.
Well, Joe, we're definitely going to talk about your beloved Saints quite a bit on the other side of this next break. We got 2 minutes before we got to head to that break. And in that time, please tell us a little bit more about your role as the lead editor and writer for NBC's Pro Soccer Talk website. Talk about what that role means to you and what you're doing with it.
Yeah, I mean, my main role is to just produce content the best we possibly can on the Premier League, which, as I mentioned, means me going to press conferences, interviewing players and managers when I can set that up, going to games. I go to at least one game a weekend, if not two. And I am the lead writer. I'm the main guy, the voice of the website at Pro Soccer Talk. But I have a wonderful staff of writers who are all based back in the U.S., and we keep everything. It's not just Premier League. We have U.S. national team, Major League Soccer, Serie A, La Liga. We write on everything. It's not just the Premier League. So it's quite a lot to manage. My main role is to make sure we've got all the bases covered. But I love it. I really do love it. It's a great position to be in. And then I also do a lot of stuff with NBC Sports World, which is the long-form website that was set up last year by Randy Kim, one of the editors at NBCSports.com. And I've got to go to Norway and meet Bob Bradley, spend a few days with him and his adventure at Starbuck. I've met Adam Lallana, I've sat down with him, Jose Font, loads of people. So it's been a phenomenal journey so far, and we're just going to keep moving on and pushing on and improving the website as much as I possibly can.
Right, right. Well, on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about one of your journeys with your beloved boyhood club with Southampton. Talk about your trip to Holland recently for the Europa League tie that the Saints did quite well in. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more relating to the Premier League on the other side of this break. It's Joe Prince-Wright of NBC Sports with yours truly, Nate Abarrea, right here on World Soccer Talk Radio Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. In the time that we do this show, hopefully no CONCACAF coaches will get in any punch-ups. We'll see. We're taking bets. We're back after this. Stay tuned.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
Are you sick and tired of cable and satellite prices going up and up and up? If you're a sports fan like me, one of the main reasons you're keeping your TV subscription is to watch ESPN. But did you know that you can cut the cord, cancel your TV subscription, and watch ESPN live and legally on your computer, tablet, Roku, or phone and save a ton of money? With a subscription to Sling TV, you can watch all the ESPN, ESPN2, TNT, TBS, and AMC that you want. Plus, you also get the SEC Network, ESPN Bases Loaded, ESPN Buzzer Beater, Univision, and much more. From SportsCenter to Hoops, Sling TV has got the best in live sports action and commentary. And today, you can get a free 7-day trial to Sling TV just by going to slingmytv.com. Again, to get a 7-day free trial to Sling TV, go to slingmytv.com today. That's slingmytv.com.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the U.S. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
For over 75 years, Geico's kept an eye on the future, keeping customers happy with things like 24/7 customer support and emergency roadside service. And to prove it, here's one of our commercials from over 75 years ago.
At Geico, we promise to always find innovative new ways to serve you. In fact, we're so innovative, in 75 years, they'll listen to this old radio commercial and think, wow, they were innovative.
Wow, we are innovative.
Geico, saving people money for over 75 years.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Tweet us at World Soccer Talk. Tweet me at Nate WST. My name is Nate Abarrea, your Basque pseudo-scouse madman host of World Soccer Talk Radio. We're joined by a proud Southampton supporter, Joe Prince-Wright of NBC Sports. We're talking all about the new Premier League TV deal with NBC and the greatest show on earth, previewing some of the matches coming up. But we got to talk about your recent trip to Holland, Joe, with Southampton, covering some stuff for NBC Sports, but also soaking in your Saints in Europe, the Saints in European competition in the Europa League away in Holland against Vitesse. Talk about this latest trip, and if you can start with this. talk about what it meant to you as a Southampton supporter who's been with this club through thick and thin, following them in European competition.
Yeah, no, I never thought I'd see this day. I really have to admit, it was quite a sight walking into a small town in Holland, seeing Saints banners everywhere and Union Jack flags, and seeing probably about 4,000 or 5,000 Southampton fans when there was only 2,000 tickets. It was incredible sight. My first memories of watching them were down at the old Dell when Matt Letizier used to rip it up back in the day. I used to go there as a kid. Grew up a couple miles from the stadium at Southampton. My whole family are mad about the team, and it was great. We flew into Amsterdam, got the train down to Arnhem. It was a proper away day, and the whole experience, I think, was cherished by most Southampton fans. And as in recent seasons, you've seen teams like Everton, Swansea, even Newcastle have made it to the Europa League, and their fans have really enjoyed the experience of it all, where some other Premier League teams perhaps treat it as a second-rate tournament. But for clubs like Southampton, it was just wonderful to see. And this is all the hard work for the last 5-6 years since they were in the depths of League One, playing against small teams on a cold Tuesday night in February. Now to be playing in the Europa League, it's a reward for all the money that the Lieber family put into the club. And I really think they can do well in this competition if they sign a few more players and strengthen the squad. And they've obviously got the playoff in Denmark next week to seal the group stages. But in terms of just walking along the canals in Amsterdam the night after the game, managed to meet up with my father, who was over there as well. He's a lifelong Saints fan, and could hear Southampton songs being sung down the canals in Amsterdam on a Thursday night. And I don't know if it was pride or what really hit me, but it was really special. It was a really cool moment, and I'm glad I got to be there for it.
Well, congratulations. I sure hope, and I'm pretty confident, that there's going to be more of those European trips to come for the Saints and for their supporters. I'm also really glad you bring up Matthew Letizier. When I was a young, and I mean very young, soccer player growing up in Northern California, when you're about 5 or 6 years old and you start losing your first few teeth, and some kids, like myself, have those first two teeth come in that are those big, giant buck teeth with a big gap in the middle, and some kids can be kind of cruel to you, and it was tough for me, you know, because those two big buck teeth came in. I had the giant gap in the front of the mouth right there, and I remember as a young kid watching the Premier League, and I saw Matthew Letizier score a great goal, and then they showed an up-close shot of his face as he's running around the pitch, screaming in celebration. I go, hey, look, he's got the same thing with his teeth. I love that guy. What is your favorite Matthew Letizier memory, Joe Prince Wright? One of my favorite footballers of all time.
It has to be, this is not like a great goal or anything. This is a really obscure moment, but I went down to watch him play Bournemouth at a pre-season friendly when I was a real small child. And Letizier played, came off at half-time. In true fashion, I think he scored a couple goals. Then he came off at half-time, and he was stood next to the Southampton fans, leant against a burger van, having a cheeseburger. After just playing the first 45 minutes, and just shrugged his shoulders when somebody said something, posed for a couple of photos, and then went back into the changing room. But, I mean, this guy was a hero. Every year, Saints were scrapping away against relegation down at Dell, tiny little stadium, great atmosphere, but like 15, 16,000 people down there. And he would just drag them out of the depths of relegation with moments of just pure magic. So he was known as Le God in Southampton, and to this day, he is known as that. So it was wonderful to see him play in his prime. It really was.
Le God, and not a half bad pundit as well. Quite entertaining over the years with his work for a couple of networks, including Sky over there in England. Now you bring up something. You brought up the days in League One, which were very recent for Southampton. There was a huge drop for Southampton. I remember back about 10, 15 years ago, really in the prime about 10 years ago, there was the resurgence of the South Coast Derby. And those matches between Portsmouth and Southampton were just incredible theater and just packed with nostalgia. It was nostalgia, and the present moment had a beautiful baby, and it was right on your television screen, or if you're lucky enough to be in the crowd at these hallowed grounds. I mean, whether it was Fratton Park at Portsmouth or the old Dell or even at the new stadium with Southampton, there was so much history packed into that rivalry. It was so bizarre and beautiful and just awesome in so many ways. And then both clubs almost simultaneously went through utter collapses. And Portsmouth, we don't even have enough time to get into what happened to Pompey, but it's far worse, really, than what happened to Southampton. But talk about that as someone who grew up on the South Coast as a Southampton supporter, knowing that rivalry, knowing that derby so well, seeing both of those clubs drop the way they did at the same time. And what do you think the key has been for Southampton to recover and recover so greatly?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible to grow up there and have it. When I was growing up as a kid, Southampton were always the top dogs, and then Portsmouth had Harry Redknapp and they started coming up through the leagues. And I just remember going to the games in this incredible intense atmosphere, Nate, because it's one of those derbies that just doesn't happen that often. It's worked out over the years that when Southampton were on top, Portsmouth were struggling, and then vice versa. It keeps flipping, and it's one of the least played derbies in English football, which makes it almost as more intense because you don't know when you're going to play them again. You just don't know when it's going to happen. In terms of the demise of both the clubs, I think both fans were quite happy when it happened to each other, in for their own reasons at the time. He's like, oh, you know, that's great, they're down low. But then they got to a certain point, especially with Portsmouth, where you say, okay, that's enough for them. Like, they're in League Two. That's fair enough. Maybe they'll get back up to the Championship, but we don't want them to go bankrupt. We don't want them to go out of business, because then who are we going to have a rivalry against? Who's going to be our main rivals? And it's crazy, the geography of it. It's 17 miles the two cities are separated by. That's it. And it is complete divide. There's a couple of towns in between Southampton and Portsmouth called Fareham and Gosport, and there's literally a road down the middle where one side is a Southampton postcode area, the other side's a Portsmouth area. And you go into bars and restaurants in that area, you don't know, you can't, there's the awkward kind of eyeing up. You're looking at each other saying, are they Southampton? Are they Pompey? And then once you work it out, it's fine. But, it's very strange. It's one of those derbies that doesn't get talked about enough because it's not one of the heavyweight derbies of English soccer, like the Northwest or, you know, the Merseyside or North London. But for me, growing up, it was apparent that people from Portsmouth didn't like you and vice versa. So I hope and pray that Portsmouth come good and they have a resurgence through the leagues. And the South Coast Derby will be back in the Premier League in the next few years.
Well, the reason why the South Coast Derby was always so cool to me, it's based on some of the things that you just touched on there. And that is that it felt like it was so hidden. Like they were playing at some, you know, hidden harbor pitch, you know, down on the south coast of this country, and no one even knew that it was going on except for the people right there. And it made it so local. It made it so culturally, geographically important. And it was their derby. It belonged to the Southampton and the Portsmouth fans. And to me, growing up and just seeing that type of thing, it meant so much, and really just established a strong love and appreciation for that matchup. And I got to ask you, as we kind of finish up this quick trip down South Coast Derby memory lane, how do folks on both sides of that road that you reference, where, you know, there's a different code on each side, you know, you got the Southampton and Portsmouth on each side, how do those folks view Harry Redknapp all these years later, after the way that man played both sides of that road, quite literally?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's quite confused. I think that may be the one man that people from Southampton and Portsmouth can bond about how they weren't happy with what he did, because I mean, he got Portsmouth promoted to the Premier League, and then obviously he moved to Southampton, got Southampton relegated, then went back to Portsmouth and kept them up, and it was an incredible set of circumstances, almost like it had been planned out. But I don't think he's looked on too fondly in either city, so we'll just leave it at that.
You gotta love it. We're here with Joe Prince-Wright of NBC Sports. We're talking about the South Coast, talking about the Premier League, talking about the new NBC deal. Talk about Joe's days at the University of Pittsburgh on the other side of this next break. He played in the Big East, played college soccer here in the States for 4 years. He played against some quite notable opponents. We'll talk about the likes of Jeff Cameron and Matt Beisler as college soccer players on the other side of this break. Real quickly before we head to break, gotta tell you about the Euro Fantasy League. All the European leagues are getting back into action, and fantasy soccer is getting underway. With the Euro Fantasy League, you get to select your fantasy team from six of the major European leagues, including the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Ligue 1, the Dutch Eredivisie, and the Portuguese Primeira Liga. That's right. From all the leagues. You're not going to just select one. So imagine a team that can feature Ronaldo, Aguero, Pogba, Zlatan, Rooney, and Messi. That's not a bad side, my goodness. Or any other combination of world-class footballers. Dollar games, $10 games, you've got a chance to win prizes ranging from $500 up to $5,000. $10 game, you can win $5,000 to play a typical fantasy game or a draft format. It is your opportunity to showcase your expertise of European soccer, playing against other fans from around the world. EuroFantasyLeague.com. Again, head on over today, EuroFantasyLeague.com. Nate Abarea and Joe Prince Wright back with you after this on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. It's the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Not all waters are created equal. Alchemy Water has been specially treated with a patented system to create a premium alkaline water that tastes great and offers more benefits than natural water. Alchemy is ionized and microclustered for antioxidant protection while neutralizing free radicals. Plus, it's fluoride-free and eco-friendly. All of these things add up to the ultimate health and wellness premium water. Available at select retailers and online through Amazon at alchemywater.com. That's alkamewater.com.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now. 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds. It's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan Silver Dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan Silver Dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229. 800-631-9229. 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Want to be the next great sports announcer? Check out Rabble.tv, where you call the action. You already know more than the guys on TV. It's time to show the world what you can do by sharing your insights and opinions about the sports you love, like football, baseball, basketball, soccer, MMA, wrestling, and more. Everything from the biggest matchups in the world to a game right in your neighborhood. Join other Rabblers who are creating a fresh new type of audio entertainment. So mute the audio coming from that network guy who never liked your team anyway, and let us hear what you think. Rabble.tv.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thanks for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher. Check out WorldSoccerTalk.com. Get at all of us in that crazy thing known as the Twitter sphere at World Soccer Talk. And get at me, Nate Abarea, at Nate WST. Joe Prince Wright of NBC Sports is our guest in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio. And I want to talk with you now about something, Joe, that we have been discussing quite extensively during these commercial breaks. Your time playing soccer at the University of Pittsburgh. You were a four-year player at the University of Pittsburgh. Talk about how that came about. And then give us a little taste of some of the opponents, some of the opposition that you were looking eye to eye with.
Yeah, it was really out of the blue, to be honest. I was 18. I was involved with Salisbury City, a team at the time. We were in the fourth and fifth division, the conference in England. And got a phone call one day to go to a tryout game in Bristol in England. Turned up, there was a coach from the University of Pittsburgh there. And 6 months later, I was enrolled at Pitt and going over there. I turned up with two suitcases, didn't know one person in America. I think my father had a distant cousin who lived in Ohio. That was the one person I knew in the country. And that was it. I had a great experience, though. I mean, 4 years, it was a great sports town. Played in the Big East, as you mentioned, traveled all around the East Coast, places like Chicago, played Georgetown, UConn, Notre Dame, Louisville, South Florida, some really good players. If you look around MLS now, the likes of Matt Beasler, played against him, Harrison Shipp, Bernardo Anor. There's lots of players, and it was a really good way for me to not only see the country, but kind of get ingratiated in the culture of the States, because in a 25-man squad on the roster, I was the only English kid. Most of the Amava teammates are from Pennsylvania, so got to go and hang out with their families, learn about the culture, became a big Steelers fan instantly, because that's just what you have to do. It was a really cool time. And I did a lot of media work on the side while I was going to college, worked for Fox Sports, ESPN Radio, and interned with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and got to, you know, work with Crosby and Malkin and those guys up close. And overall, I loved it. It's something I never thought about doing, going to the U.S., but I wouldn't have changed it at all. And met my lovely wife there as well at university. Now I have family in the States, and I'm always going back and forth between London and the U.S. So, yeah, it's changed my life forever.
Yeah, I'd say that whole thing at Pittsburgh worked out pretty well for you. Can you give us a taste of what you remember about the likes of Jeff Cameron and Matt Beasler, these strong now U.S. men's national team defenders? Do you have any vivid memories of seeing them up close as young, raw college players? What were they like?
Yeah, I mean, Beasler, I remember I spoke to him recently before a U.S. game, and he recognized me, we had a good chat, and one of his only college goals came against Pitt, actually, and we went 1-0 up against them early. He equalized, and then Bright DK, he's had a few bad injuries, but he scored a couple of goals at the end. I think we ended up losing 3-4-1. But, you could see he was going to be a good player on that team with him, with the likes of Justin Morrow as well, and Jeb Brofsky, who I also met recently, who's with New York City now and has bounced around a few teams. So, I think overall it was a really good breeding ground. If you look at it now, the Big East has disbanded a little bit for soccer, and a lot of those schools have transferred over to the ACC, which is a little bit sad to see from my point of view, having so many great memories of that conference. But it was a really good competition and really good games week in, week out. There was not many blowouts. It was very close, tight games. And overall, like I said, it was great to travel to, you know, South Bend and fly down to USF and then up to Chicago to play DePaul and then hit the books. After a road trip like that, wasn't always easy, but it was a great, great experience. And UConn, I have to say as well, playing in front of nearly 5,000 people there as a college student was pretty special as well.
Joe, I got to get your opinion on something relating to the U.S. men's national team real quick. As someone who played 4 years of college soccer, and these names that you're mentioning, and obviously, you know, Cameron and Beasler stand out, but even Morrow, who I watched extensively with the San Jose Earthquakes over recent years, a number of just great players that you're bringing up. I got into a great Twitter dialogue the other day. Everyone has this attitude and this kind of pick a side. What's better for the U.S. men's national team? Players going into Major League Soccer or going to Europe? It's one or the other. And then you've got a guy like Jordan Morris, who comes out of nowhere back in April, gets called in by Jurgen Klinsmann. He's playing at Stanford. He's playing college soccer, and he comes in and he scores the winning goal in a friendly against Mexico. You got a guy like even like Miguel Ibarra coming in out of the NASL. And my thing in this recent Twitter dialogue with a number of U.S. soccer-centered folks was, hey, there's not one right path. Let's assess the individual. Let's not paint with these ridiculous broad strokes. Let's assess what's best for the individual. And if we do that for as many individuals as possible, our national team will benefit greatly. What do you think about a guy like Jordan Morris scoring that goal against Mexico, though? And what does that say about the state of college soccer in relation to the U.S. men's national team? And college soccer perhaps being the right route for some guys?
Yeah, Nate, I think there's just not one way of doing it. I think, like you mentioned, NASL, college, MLS academies, good players will pop up in all kinds of different arenas, all kinds of different settings. And we see that in England as well. You look around, the English national team had two guys up front who got called up over the summer, Jamie Vardy and Charlie Austin. And both of those guys came through the non-league set up over here, weren't linked to professional teams at all. I actually remember Mark and Charlie Austin in a preseason friendly 7, 8, 9 years ago when he was playing for a ninth division team. And now he's playing, obviously scored 16, 18 goals, is it, in the Premier League last year. Can't remember the exact number, but he's in an England national team setup now. So if you look at that and equate it to the US national team, there's just no real one way to do it. I think that's been really a really open-minded approach by Jurgen Klinsmann to include some of these guys that previously they might not have been included because just of the team they played for or if they were still in college or whatever. It's a fact of if you're good enough, you're going to get found. And I think that's a great way to look at it. And for players everywhere, they know that they're always being watched now because there's so much attention. No matter what league you play in, no matter what level or the pyramid you're at, people are watching. So I would go along with you and say there's no one ultimate way to become a better player. You just need to be in a good situation and it will work out the way it wants to.
I love it. We had Jay DeMeritt on the show a couple of weeks ago. If you want a nice story of if you earn it, if you're good enough, you will be found. Study the Jay DeMeritt story and see what hard work can get you in regards to a national soccer call up. And I love Jay DeMeritt. He scores the go ahead goal. It ends up being the winning goal in the championship playoff final in Cardiff against Leeds back in 06. And before then, he wasn't even on the U.S. men's national team radar. And suddenly people go, who the hell's this blonde American guiding this team up to the Premier League? What's going on here? I mean, again, that speaks volumes about, and really is a prime example of what we're talking about here, Joe. And for those of you out there who didn't get a chance to listen to that Jay DeMeritt interview, it is archived on worldsoccertalk.com and on the TuneIn app as well. So be sure to check that out and get a taste of what we're talking about. All right, we got to transition back to England. We got 6 minutes left here with you, Joe. There's an interesting story coming out, and a lot of people are curious to hear your take on this. And NBC's Pro Soccer Talk has covered this a bit, and that is the story of Chelsea team doctor Eva Carneiro, and who made big inroads for females in the Premier League and becoming the first female team doctor, and she has just been demoted by Chelsea, and it's creating quite the interesting controversy. What do you know about this story, and what do you really make of it?
Yeah, speaking to some people with knowledge of the situation, and that is exactly right. It's been not downgraded. Her role's been changed is what's happened, and she still will be the first team doctor, but she will now not be there on the bench on match day. She will not be at the team hotel before games. And she will not be at the training ground on a day-to-day basis in terms of on the training pitches. She will still be there with her staff undergoing stuff. But, I mean, Mourinho at the time, everyone was thinking, is this just a reaction to a bad result against Swansea and the red card and all that stuff? But in a lot of ways, you could see what he was saying in terms of the not the naivety of the situation, but the way that it played out. Mourinho is a mastermind of playing the game, of playing the situation. And if he feels that certain members of his staff aren't on his same level and aren't on his wavelength, then he's been pretty ruthless in the past. You've seen that. Over the summer, there were a lot of changes in the way that Chelsea's other technical staff behind the scenes were set up. That's changed a lot too. So this could have been something on his mind for a while, but Mourinho isn't the kind of guy that's going to mess around. If he doesn't like something, he's going to get rid of it. And I know that with Eva, leading female in the game has obviously caused a lot of upset, and that obviously will be one of the narratives surrounding the story. But it's certainly a very, very interesting one, and I'll be at the Etihad Stadium on Sunday when City play Chelsea on NBCSN, and really looking forward to that. But it will be interesting to see the kind of questions Mourinho gets and then the post-match press conference after that game for sure.
All right, I got a two-parter on Jose Mourinho for you here. First off, as a member of the media and a lead editor for a prominent soccer website, what do you think of Jose Mourinho? And the second part is, as a fan of another team in the Premier League, what do you think of Jose Mourinho?
For the first part, I mean, the guy is box office. He knows when to deliver, what he has to deliver, and we have quite a lot of fun with him. I mean, as one of the only American-based guys over here, it's quite fun to sit there and go back and forth with him in the post-match press conferences. The English tabloids, they try and snarl him up, and then he just catches him with a curveball, something that no one ever thought he would talk about, he talks about, and I truly believe that when he goes into the press conferences, he's that far ahead of everyone else, he's two steps ahead of everyone, that he's already got lined up what he wants to talk about and what he wants to make a controversy. So from that point of view, I think he's great for the Premier League and just football in general. I think he's a wonderful manager, as we all know. His resume speaks for itself. But I think he's wonderful in terms of the value he brings to these press conferences after the game. As a fan of another team, he's a little bit infuriating at times. I was at Southampton last year working December 28th. I think you remember the game quite well. Cesc Fabregas went down in the box under a challenge from Matt Target. No penalty was given. Fabregas was booked for diving. And Mourinho came out all guns blazing. He ended up getting a ban and a fine from the FA and charged because he says what's on his mind. And I think that upsets a lot of people. But if he was the manager of your team, I'm sure you would love him. I think that's the way Chelsea's fans feel. He's a winner. And he does whatever he can to take the pressure off the team and turn them into a winning franchise. And that's what he's done. I mean, he's been there 2 years now and they won the Premier League. So that's fantastic for Chelsea.
Joe, we got under 2 minutes left with you. You say you're going to be at the Etihad this weekend for that big Chelsea City clash. The Frank Lampard-less City Chelsea clash. Finally, that debacle is all over with. All right, lay down a prediction. Let us know what you think is going to happen. And after this opening weekend, suddenly City have gone from the team with the chip on their shoulder to, in my opinion, this is coming from someone who had Arsenal pegged as the champions here this season. You know how that went here this opening weekend. Suddenly City look like the team to beat. Lay down a prediction for this weekend between the citizens and the Blues.
Yeah, I just did a preview video on this yesterday for digital, and I said it would be a very, very tight game, similar to the two last year that we saw, 2-1-1 draws. I think City might just edge it if anybody does, Nate, because Sterling, Silva, if Aguero starts with Torre as well, I think they have so many attacking options there. And with Thibaut Courtois missing in goal for Chelsea, they looked a little bit shaky at the back against Swansea. So I think if anybody's going to nick it, it's going to be Manchester City. But, and this is a big but, we know Mourinho is going to be up to his old tricks. He's going to probably pack the midfield, play Fabregas in a more advanced role, and I wouldn't be surprised if either Zuma, Ramirez, or Mikel come and sit in midfield alongside Matic and just plug all the gaps that City are trying to create. So it's going to be a tight 10-1. Man City's just expanded their stadium. It's going to be noisy, and I would encourage everybody to tune into NBCSN at 11 a.m. Eastern time to see that, because these are two title contenders who will be going at it.
Joe, 20 seconds. Let us know how we can get a hold of you. Give the Twitter out.
I am JPW_NBC Sports. You can hit me up on there. And always visit the website, prosoccertalk.nbcsports.com.
Joe Prince Wright, great chatting with you, sir. You're welcome back on the show anytime.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Again, that was Joe Prince Wright of NBC Sports. We're back after this on World Soccer Talk Radio to take the express train home. Stay tuned.
We all know healthcare has changed drastically. It's quite the puzzle to sort through your options and find a health insurance plan that's affordable and maximizes your benefits. and you are now required by law to have health insurance, or you may pay a tax penalty. So let the Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. They offer plans from over 120 different companies and can even help you obtain government subsidies. Let them do all the research for you and show you how affordable health insurance can be, a service that's at no extra cost to you. Call now and learn your options to find affordable health insurance. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of Insphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is a licensed insurance agency in all 50 states and D.C. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service availability varies by state.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
This family is at home, but they won't be answering the door. They know that the pounding on the door is a process server from the court waiting to hand them foreclosure documents. So instead of enjoying the home they worked so hard to afford, they sit hiding in the dark.
Mom, what was that?
But it doesn't have to be this way. This family can save their home, but they must act fast. Call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions at 800-274-7312. If you're being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, missed a payment on your mortgage, been a victim of a predatory loan, or are upside down on your home, it's critical that you call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions now. 800-274-7312. Allied State Foreclosure Solutions has an attorney in your area that will meet and speak with you. You can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, save your home and your credit, but you must act now. Call 800-274-7312. 800-274-7312. Not available in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Closing this baby out, another huge thank you to Joe Prince Wright of NBC Sports for joining us in this edition of the show. University of Pittsburgh standout, Joe Prince Wright. That's right. That was a fantastic trip down Big East memory lane with Joe in this edition of the show. Hey, Manchester City, Chelsea, check it out with Gary Hayes on Rabble.tv this Sunday. World Soccer Talk Radio listeners, I'm inviting you to join Chelsea writer and expert Gary Hayes on Rabble.tv. All you got to do, go to Rabble the morning of the match, 7:45 a.m. Pacific time here in the States, 10:45 a.m. Eastern on Rabble.tv. Get involved with the broadcast. Post your questions or observations in the comments section. Mute the TV. Head on over to Rabble. Check that bad boy out. Gary Hayes is going to be doing some fantastic work. Always entertaining. Mr. Chelsea. Or create your own broadcast. Call one of your team's games. Call your Premier League team's games. Call your MLS side's games. Call your favorite UFC fighters' fights in the octagon. Call whatever you want on Rabble.tv. You become the broadcaster. That's what it's all about. Cut your teeth as a broadcaster with our good friends at Rabble.tv. A huge thanks to Rabble for their continued support of the show. For the producer, Dom Jimenez, who filters all my hate tweets. For the gaffer, Christopher Harris. My name is Nate Abarea. Martin Tyler with us tomorrow. That's right. Tune in for that. We'll talk to you then. Cheers.